Good morning. I want to encourage you, if you did not receive the email of last week's notes, then chances are you're not on our email list. I don't just add random people to the email list unless they ask to be added, okay? And so if you would like to be added to the email list or you would like to be added to the phone tree or any of those things, you can fill out one of these cards just like anybody else and put your name on there and just write on there, please add my email, please add my phone number to the phone tree. Or we've canceled our home phone and I don't get the calls anymore. Please, I got one of those this week. Please put my cell phone number on there instead of my home phone. And so a good way to stay connected with these cards, and so I encourage you to do that. If you did not receive the email from last week's notes, we're in the middle of a study. It's going to be an 8-week study on sharing our faith. I told you last week that I've been studying this book. It's called Sharing Jesus Without Freaking Out. It's about building up a lifestyle of sharing the gospel with people instead of having a set plan that we go into. It's about having conversations with people. And so basically I'm just going chapter by chapter through this book. I'm connecting scripture to what is taught in here and trying to help us develop as a congregation a lifestyle of witnessing to others. Principle number one we talked about last week, which is this: God created you for his glory, to advance his gospel with the gifts, talents, and opportunities he gave you. Okay, that was principle number one that we talked about last week. Like I said, if you missed last week, you can catch up by getting notes through email, or you can go ahead and you can jump on our website and you can listen to last week's sermon online. And so go ahead and catch up so you can be on track. So how do we get to this point where we want to do this, where we want to share the gospel with the gifts that God has given us? How do we get there instead of saying, man, I feel like I have to share the gospel with people? How do we get to the point where we want to share the gospel with people? And that's where we want to be. At least that's where I hope that you would like to be. And so the have-to attitude of sharing the gospel many times comes out of a religion or a religious obligation instead of a relationship with God. And so if this life that you live as a Christian is more religious based instead of relationship based, then you will have the I have to attitude or a fear that God may be mad at you if you do not share the gospel attitude. And so that's all based off of religion and not a true understanding of the relationship that God desires to have with each of us personally. And so how do we get from that having to the I get to share the gospel? Well, we need to know what Jesus has done for us. You know, God is not grading you. Jesus already passed the test. He made the way for us to have life. You know that God is not judging you. Jesus took the judgment. Jesus took the wrath due us. God is not mad at you. Yes, God does hate sin, but Jesus bore our sin on the cross. And as we know those things, then we have an excitement about sharing those things with others. As we know who we are in him, we no longer fear God or fear failing God, because we realize that he is the greatest father ever. And he loves us so much. You know, I hope that my kids don't have a fear of failing. I don't want them to not try, but I hope that they don't have a fear of failing, because they know that I love them and I really want to encourage them and help them through things. And that's how God wants for us, even in a way greater scale than that. But I want my kids to at least try to do it. And that's what God wants us to do. He has put us here. We are his plan for reaching the world. We talked about that last week. There is no plan B. We are plan A, no plan B, to reach the world. And so he wants us to go out and tell people about him. And so as we know that we are the plan, as we know who we are in Christ, that he paid the penalty, that he passed the test, that he took the judgment, and that he is not mad at us, and we realize that we are a child of God, then these things show us the amazing grace of God. And God's grace propels us to desire to share it. Because when something awesome happens, We want people to know it. And when it's real in our life and it's a relationship and not a religion, then we want people to know about it. And so that's how we get to the point where we desire to share God with people, because we want to honor our amazing Lord who did all that for us. So let's go into this week. We have this command here, we have the command we talked about last week, and connecting what we just talked about, going from that fear of failing God or that religion to going into wanting to share God. Jesus says this in John chapter 15, 10 through 11, and I want to connect this to having joy in sharing versus just following through on a command and sharing the gospel. And so Jesus says this: if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. This is John 15, verses 10 through 11. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Okay? So that's what Jesus says at the beginning of this verse. Now he says this: I have spoken these things. What things? If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. I have spoken these things so that you may have joy, or so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. I have spoken these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Why did he speak those things? So that we would have joy. When we share Christ with other people, that will bring us amazing joy as well. And so he doesn't say, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. And I'm telling you this out of fear. Fear me. Fear me now. He doesn't say that. He wants us to do it out of joy in him, not out of fear for him. There is a real aspect of fear of the Lord, but this is not what he's talking about here. We're called to share out of joy that we have in Christ, the joy that we have in grace and knowing grace, and not the fear of judgment or wrath, because we know that Christ paid the price for that. And so getting to the point where we want to share the gospel needs to become a realization that it will bring us amazing joy, come out of the fact that we have amazing grace, come out of the reality that Jesus paid the price for our sin, that Jesus paid the price for wrath, all those things. And as we understand that, then we will want to share the gospel. And so that brings us into point two. This is where we're focusing on today, is this. Principle number two: in order to share Jesus confidently, that's where we want to get. We want to get to the point where we can vocally share Jesus without freaking out. That's the point of this entire study. And so to become confident about it and consistent with others, first, share him confidently and consistently with yourself. Have you ever done that? You ever shared the gospel with yourself? Have you ever told yourself the good news? Do we need to be reminded the good news? Absolutely we do. There's many days where we wake up and there is nothing good in our minds, and we need to be reminded instantly that there is good news out there. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he always asked me the same thing. And he says, so what's the good word today, Rick? And I don't know, you may know him because he may ask you the same thing. But he's here in Rossville, and he says that, and I said, I got nothing today. And he's like, what? Really? Nothing today? You always have something to say. And so it got me thinking, like, I mean, I wasn't having a great day, but I always have the good news. Like, and so I paused. I said, you're right. I have the greatest news in history. I have the good news. And so I always have something to say. You're right. And so it just got me thinking. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of the good news. And as we work through the good news in our lives and proclaim it to ourselves, then it brings it into memory and we go, okay, this is easy to know. This is part of my daily life. I've proclaimed it to myself. Let me tell you about this amazing news I've heard. David does this on a consistent basis all throughout the book of Psalms. I want to take you to one of those passages, and I'll invite you to turn there. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. It's not going to be up behind me. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. And this is David proclaiming the salvation of the Lord. This is David reminding himself of what God has done in his life. And this is what we need to do so that we become more comfortable in sharing the gospel consistently in our lives. And so David says this, "My soul praises Yahweh, and all that is within me praises his holy name. My soul praises the Lord, and do not forget all his benefits. He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with faithful love and compassion. He satisfies you with goodness. Your youth is renewed like an eagle." You see these reminders that David gives himself? That it is God who forgives, that it is God who heals, that it is God who redeems, that it is God who is faithful in love and crowns him with compassion, that it is God who brings him satisfaction and goodness. We need these reminders. We need to proclaim this to ourselves. But what is the gospel? What is the gospel that we need to proclaim to ourselves? So we're going to get, what is this good news? What is this gospel? The Bible breaks it down in two different areas. One is Paul speaking, and the other is Jesus speaking. And so two areas that we really need to pay attention to. And so we need to look at, first of all, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And then we're going to look at what Jesus says in Luke 24, 44 through 48. And so 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 says this. "Now, brothers," and this is Paul speaking, "I want to clarify for you the gospel," okay? I want to clarify this for you. A lot of people wonder, what is this gospel message that I'm going to share? I mean, I've heard it shared in so many different ways. I've heard people say you need to do it this way. But what when you really break it down, when you really bring it down to the essence, to the important things, what do I need to share of the gospel message? And so it says this. "I want to clarify for you the gospel I proclaim to you. You received it and have taken your stand on it. You are also saved by it if you hold to the message." And so I want to pause there for a second. If you have placed your faith in Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, then you received the gospel message. You heard the gospel message at one point. And you responded to the fact that Jesus paid the price for you, for your sin on the cross. You responded to that. And you trusted in that payment that he made. You trust that he is alive today. And you trust that he is still at work and he can save you now. And you wanted to follow him. And so you had that establishment of he is my Savior and I want to follow him as Lord. And so we have that and you believe that. But then all of a sudden someone came in and you started hearing so many different messages of how to share it, even though you had that basic foundation that many times we've become confused. Well, I can say this. I have become confused. Maybe you're smarter than me. Good for you. I have become confused by so many different ways to share the gospel that I have made it so hard to share that I wonder if I'm doing the right thing or saying the right thing, that I've lost the basics of salvation in Christ alone from the very beginning and muddied the waters so much that I fear sharing sometimes. Maybe you're like me, maybe you're not. But Paul says this. You took hold of it. You took a stand on it. You are saved by it if you hold to the message I proclaim to you, unless you believe for no purpose. For I passed on to you as most important what I also received. Get this. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And so Paul breaks it down to three things here. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and he points back to their belief. See the number three, one, two, three on there listed? He points back to the fact that they took a stand. They believed in that, that Jesus had paid the price for their sins. And so that was the gospel message he was pointing back to. Jesus paid the price for their sin. He was buried. He rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And if they believed this, they were saved. Their belief then became a stand in their life. They responded to it. They stood on it. That was the gospel message that Paul was pointing to there. Then we look at what Jesus says. Jesus says in Luke chapter 22, verses 44 through 48. And these are the words of Jesus. Luke 24, 44 through 48. Then he told them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." That's underlined for a reason. We're going to get back to that part in a section in a second. Just like the according to the scripture section that we read a second ago, we're going to get back to that as well. And so he says this, going on, must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understanding the scriptures. He also said to them, this is what is written. The Messiah should or would suffer, number one point. Number two, rise from the dead on the third day. And number three, repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And so we have these points. Jesus says the Messiah would suffer. Basically, he's saying, I'm going to suffer. Then I will rise again on the third day, and this is what's going to be proclaimed. To those who believe in me that I paid the price for you, you will repent. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name so that people can believe. And so there's 3 points there as well. Actually, 4 points, which we're going to get to. So, understanding the gospel message, when we break it down into these things, here's what's proclaimed here. Understanding the gospel in Luke 24, 44 through 48, and 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 says this, Jesus died for our sins and was buried. Keeping it simple. Jesus rose from the dead. He is alive today. Okay? Number 3, we can have forgiveness by faith and repentance. Why does it say in repentance? Because if you have faith, you will repent, okay? You are not saved by your action, but true faith will lead to repentance in our lives. But the gospel is not less than that, okay? The gospel at least has to say that. Jesus paid the price for our sins. He died. He rose again. We need forgiveness in him alone. We believe in him, and we repent. That's the basic essence of the gospel. But Jesus did say, and Paul did say, these words, according to the scriptures, or everything written about me in the law and the prophets and the Psalms. And Jesus actually opened their eyes so that they would understand all the scripture. And so, the gospel is actually bigger than just the smallest part of the gospel, just those 3 points. Yes, that does proclaim the gospel. But the gospel message has been going on since creation of the world. The gospel message is all of Scripture. Is that intimidating to share? All of Scripture? Do you have like 3 days to sit down and read with me? Yeah, but there's some basic parts to the plot line of all of Scripture that every single person around us can connect to and agree with. How many of you like movies? You don't have to raise your hand. Just answer the question in your mind. Do you like movies? Do you like books? Do you like stories? All of us do. We all love a good story. My uncle, Uncle Lloyd, he is a pastor, and one of my favorite parts of going hunting was with my uncle was not sitting in the woods freezing my butt off, was not waking up at 4 a.m. so I could go freeze my butt off in the woods. It was not that stuff. My favorite part of going hunting as a kid was going and hearing Uncle Lloyd's stories. They were the best stories. He was an amazing storyteller, an amazing joke teller. I loved his stories. You could connect to the stories he was saying. And as he talked about them, I have a great imagination, so I could see the pictures of all of it unfolding in my mind. It was fun. It wasn't fun to sit in the woods. I didn't do a whole lot of sitting, actually. The joke was that you knew where I was hunting because there was paths through the woods around trees all over the place. No deer was coming near me, that's for sure. I could not sit still. But those stories I connected with. You see, we all connect with stories. There are certain storylines in Hollywood today that are typical over and over and over in movies. We have either the man falls in a hole storyline, you know that storyline where something hopeless happens and there is a rescuer that is needed. This is like every superhero movie ever made, every action movie ever made. You're a Die Hard fan, this is one of those Die Hard movies. This is an action movie. Man falls in a hole, they need a rescuer. Okay, this is the plot line. Or maybe you're a big fan of romantic movies, boy meets girl or girl meets boy movies. This is the search for true love, love story. That's a huge plot line that people really enjoy. Or the other plot line that most every movie falls under, one of these three, the rags to riches plot line. This is more of your dramas, where someone goes from nothing to having everything. These are maybe one of your favorite movies is dramas or action or love stories. They fall under these categories. Why do these categories hit home? Why do these stories hit home? Because this actually is the essence of what we all desire to have. We all need a rescuer. We all want to find true love. We all want to go from nothing to having something. And ultimately, each one of these points to the gospel because the gospel storyline fulfills every single one of these. The true love that we have in God, the hopelessness that we had without God, and Jesus is our rescuer. He takes us from slave to child of God. And so these storylines we connect to so well, in reality, point to the gospel message that is told all throughout Scripture. And so if you can tell me a movie, we may watch the same movie and go to tell somebody about the movie, and I hope you don't do it like when it's brand new in the theaters and they're like, hey, I really want to see Spider-Man. And you're like, oh, it was great. At the end of the movie, this is what happens. I hope you're not one of those people that ruins the entire movie. I mean, you can do that with like Titanic. That was the big joke back then. Like, it sunk. It's okay. Yeah. Yeah, we all did that. Well, at least the guys did. The boat sinks. Yes, we get that. We know that going into the movie. But the reality is we connect to these movies, and if you tell us about a movie and I tell about a movie, we'll probably tell about the same plot line, but we'll tell a little bit of different aspects to the movie that I connect to that maybe you didn't connect to and that you connect to that I didn't connect to. And so when we go through this outline of the gospel that's very simple, know this. We're not going to all share the gospel the same way. But we will all point to Jesus. Okay? We will all point to aspects, key aspects of the gospel message as we share it. But there's going to be stories in Scripture that connect and hit home with you in a way that don't connect and hit home with me. And so you'll share them in a little different way than I would share. But the plot line will still be proclaimed through the gospel message. I read this in the book, and I just want to share this with you. The story, the 66 books, is the greatest story of redemption ever told. And here's how he breaks it down into simple plot line. And we're going to walk through these. He says this, that God created a beautiful world with humankind central to his great design, that sin came through the fall and has brought the world, brought a world of brokenness. that God set apart a people through whom a rescuer would come, Jesus, who redeems us through his death, and that we who come to God through repentance and faith have a hope of restoration where we will live in the very presence of God. You read that, and I read that, and I go, yeah, I can't memorize that. Well, maybe I could, but that's not how I talk, and that's not how I share things. That's okay. That's not the point of that sentence, the point or that paragraph. The point of that paragraph is to point out the plot line throughout Scripture. Every single one of us knows something about creation. Every single one of us knows something about the fall. Every single one of us knows something about the rescuer and the restoration to come. And so if we can remember the plot line of Scripture, then we can share Scripture. This is not a word-for-word regurgitation of Scripture. It's a sharing what you know about the Bible with someone in a real conversation with them. And so what is this broken down, these four key elements of Scripture? Creation, fall, rescuer, restoration, okay? This is a way we need to take this and make it personal, the good news. And so let's walk through these. Creation. When talking about creation, it's easy to start a conversation about creation. Look outside. The world's beautiful. It is. When someone's going on vacation, do they go, man, I can't wait to get away and go to that factory. I love man-made stuff. It's amazing. No, you leave the factory to go into the world and see creation. You want to see God's creation. You get away to the beach. You get away to the mountains. You get away in the woods to go hunting, whatever that may be. You get away into God's creation to get away from man-made stuff. The reality of the beauty of God's creation hits home with every single person. And so as you get into the gospel conversation, it's easy to go, and before we go on, this is what Jesus was doing when he was connecting the gospel message to Scripture. He opened the disciples' eyes to all of Scripture. And when Jesus pointed to, or when Paul said all the prophets and the Psalms and all that pointed to Jesus. That was talking about all of Scripture. Those words are used for the Old Testament. And so that points to what we're talking about now, the all of Scripture aspect of sharing the gospel, the creation aspect here. And so when we go to share the gospel, the creation, here's some tips. When starting a conversation about Jesus, it helps to start with a conversation we pretty much all agree with. It's easy to start with creation. Say something like this, or ask this to someone. It's a beautiful world, isn't it? It's a beautiful world, isn't it? You see, when we're sharing about creation, we don't want to miss things like God made an amazing creation, that God is the center of the story, not us, that God made man unique in all of creation. But starting with creation gives us a leaping point into the gospel message, because this is part of the redemption story that we have throughout Scripture. And so you connect it how you would talk about the world, God's world. Maybe it's farming. Maybe it's hunting. Maybe it's going and sitting on a beach somewhere and you just really love that. Whatever it may be, connect it to God's creation, but point to God as you're sharing the gospel, and point to the fact that God made man unique in this so that you can lead into the next section, the fall. So about the fall, this is a very easy statement to lead into right now in the world we live in. There's so many things going on in this broken world that it's easy to say that, yes, something went wrong in the world, hasn't it? I mean, just turn on the news, and we see the world falling apart all around us. We see wildfires everywhere, earthquakes, hurricanes like crazy right now. And so we see a broken world. we don't want to start out with in this conversation pointing out that person's sin. Or just saying, well, man messed it all up, we're sinners. Yes. Well, we can all agree on the brokenness of the world. It's easy to get from there to sharing the brokenness of man. And so we see this. Here's some tips for talking about the brokenness of the world and our sin in our life. Starting with the brokenness we see in the world around us, then moving to the personal effects keeps a person from becoming defensive in the conversation of the gospel. And then another tip that he gives in this book, when talking about the brokenness and sin, we should become very vulnerable, discussing the struggles we have and still face. It's vital we Christians not sound like we have everything together and have become sinless. We are forgiven, not flawless. And so when you go into the conversation of the brokenness of the world, you can lead that into the brokenness of ourselves, and then from there, the brokenness of yourself and the fact that you are a sinner as well. Don't just talk about their sinfulness. Talk about your sinfulness. We don't want to miss that we are forgiven, not flawless. And then here's something that we don't want to miss as we close out this conversation about the fall. As sinners, we are in rebellion to God, facing an eternal separation from him in hell. We were created for glory, but we stand in judgment. Okay? So, however you would proclaim this to someone in a regular conversation, just sitting there having a cup of coffee or driving down the road, proclaim it to yourself first so that you can then share it with someone else like we challenged you at the beginning. Next, we go into the rescuer. Say something like this as you lead into the fact that there is a rescuer. This is why Jesus came. This is why Jesus came. And as we do this, let's not mix up the effects of the gospel with the essence of the gospel. Many times, we want to jump right into Jesus came to so that you will change your life. You will go to church now. You will be in the Bible now, and you will swear less, and your mind will become purer. And we go into these effects instead of the essence of the gospel, the fact that we need a rescuer. Okay? And so those effects will come out of or be a result of someone responding to the essence of the gospel. And so here's the essence of the gospel versus the effects. We're not looking for necessarily morally changing someone. The most moral people in all of Scripture are the people that Jesus battled with the most, with the Pharisees. Okay? And so these people wanted to hold to the law so morally. And these are the battles that they had. So we're not looking to create moral people. We're looking to have people rescued by a Savior. And so realize this, that we need to proclaim the essence of the gospel. That Jesus didn't come to make bad people good, but to make dead people alive. You and I were guilty before the judgment bar of a righteous God. But by Jesus' death, we are declared justified or not guilty. We owed a debt for sin we could never pay, but Jesus both paid the penalty for our sin debt and offers us an inheritance we could never earn called reconciliation. We who were slaves to sin have been set free from slavery. We've been redeemed. You don't have to share that paragraph. But the story there of our hopelessness and our need for a rescuer can connect to everybody. We are hopeless in our sin, and we can't save ourselves. And so you point to the fact that Jesus is the only way for that salvation. He is the one who paid the price for our sin. And so however you would share that, point to the fact that there is a rescuer
and that is Jesus, and point to the truth, not the effects of the truth, but the truth that we need a Savior. And I would encourage you to preach this to yourself on a regular basis. The fact that you need a Savior, the fact that I need a Savior, needs to be proclaimed to ourselves so that we don't become moral police and self-righteous judges of the world. Going on to the last aspect, and this is the aspect that many times we start with. We start with heaven many times, and we forget that the message of the gospel is a message of new life now, not just a hope for eternity. And so we kind of have this backwards approach sometimes of, don't you want to go to heaven? Let me tell you about this. And we proclaim everything, and there's no new life or realization of hope now within the gospel message that we can proclaim. And so we want to lead to the happy ending, okay? None of us likes a bad ending, okay? Did you watch the show Lost? It was a horrible ending, if anybody watched that show. Or the movie's Matrix. What a horrible ending. And we want a happy ending. We want the good guy to win in the end. And the reality is, the gospel message has the most amazing ending ever. The fact that we, through Christ alone, can spend eternity in heaven with him. That there is a new heaven and a new earth that God is creating, because this old earth, this earth that we are on now, is broken and falling apart. We've already established the brokenness of this world. And so God is creating a new one for us to live with him. And so the tips of sharing the end is this. When we share the end, don't forget the now. Don't forget the life we have now, the hope we have now, the newness that we have now in Christ. We are declared righteous in Christ now, forgiven now. It's not just an eternal thing, but this is the end that we also proclaim while we're proclaiming the now. God has prepared a place for those who love him that is beyond the ability of our comprehension. We say words like streets of gold. We can't even comprehend heaven, okay? And that's okay. We don't have to be able to comprehend everything to share it. A lot of times we think, because I can't understand it, I can't share it. The reality of this broken world and it's falling apart, and the hope that we have in heaven, and the reality that there is a new world that God is creating, we can point to that and that aspect alone. And if you want to throw out streets of gold or however else you want to describe heaven, go for it. But I can't comprehend it. There's some parts to Scripture. We're just using human words to describe heavenly things. And so it says this in the book here. It says, God prepared a place for those who love him that is beyond our ability to comprehend. But we know Jesus is going to return one day and take his bride, that is us believers, all believers, to a new heaven and earth. We will be in the very presence of Jesus, the one who saves us and who saved us and walks with us now. And so, as we get into this, we also want to share that through Jesus, we now have a relationship with God here on earth. And God has a purpose for our life here on earth. We are to bring him glory. We are to take the good news about Jesus to others. And so we encourage those that we're sharing with to get into God's word. And we also get into God's word so that we can grow in this understanding, grow in sharing the gospel. And so it breaks down that when you look at the story of the gospel message, you can break it down into these four areas, and you can share those four areas. And so, actually, we'll get to that in a second. So we're going to go from creation to the fall, the brokenness of the world, to the rescuer in Jesus, to the restoration and hope that we have for eternity, yes, but now and eternity. And so I encourage you this week to take those four words, write them on a piece of paper, okay? Type them on a computer. And then tell yourself the gospel. Type out the gospel, how you would share it. The stories that you know from Scripture. How you would point to the gospel. and make sure that we include the areas that we establish at the very beginning that need to be in there. Okay? The fact that Jesus died for our sins and he was buried and he rose again. And that if we believe in him and have faith in him, then we are saved and we will repent. And then you can go into the rest of the gospel story as you explain it. And so, encourage you to do that this week. Explain the gospel to yourself. And as you get into this, it may seem overwhelming to say, man, how in the world do I get to that point where I can share that? Maybe you have a favorite way now to share the gospel. Maybe you have a track that you really like, or maybe the just sharing the book of John. Maybe go up to a coworker and say, hey, I read through this and it really changed my life. I just wondered if you'd read through it and we could sit down and talk about it sometime. And you hand them the book of John to read. It comes in just the book of John and you can read through that instead of handing the whole Bible and intimidating them and saying, hey, you know, I read through this. Would you read this week? And we'll discuss it. 6 o'clock Thursday. That work for you? Be great. You know, find something that works for you. You know, maybe you've found somebody who explains it with pictures really well, and you want to draw on a napkin somewhere and hand it to someone and say, hey, what in the world is that? And you want to lead into sharing the gospel. Find a way you like that works for you. There's no perfect way to share it without sharing the gospel message. And so you get to the point where you can share this message. That in Christ alone, that he paid the price for us. That we can have salvation in him by faith in him. And that faith comes with repentance. So that's why we say faith and repentance. So this week, our prayer, we want to add to last week's prayer. And I hope that you prayed this last week. Last week's prayer was this. God, give me today an opportunity to speak to someone about Jesus. The wisdom to see it and the courage to take it. Okay? Continue to pray that. Continue to pray that on a daily basis. Put that on a post-it. Put it in your car. Put it on your desk at work, whatever it may be. Put it in your locker at school. Teens, if you have a locker, put it inside your notebook, whatever it may be. Whatever you're going to see, continue to pray that prayer. But pray this as well, adding this prayer. God, please, continually grow my understanding of the wonder of the gospel. Grow my desire to share the gospel with others and give me your love for those around me. That's huge. Because, like we said last week, the thing that should really freak us out is not sharing the gospel. That's an amazing hope that we have as Christians. The thing that should freak us out and make us fearful is the fact that those around us, our friends, our coworkers, our kids, aunts, uncles, moms, dads, whatever it may be, they're dying without knowing the gospel. And when you die without knowing Jesus, hell is the only place. Heaven or hell. And so that should make us scared. I read this in closing out the book, and I want to share this to close, and I'm going to leave this up here as we pray and close, and I will send this out this week, and if you want to be added to that email list, I will send out last week's as well and this week's together, and so go ahead and fill that white card out and throw in the box and say, please add my email, and I'll get you added. But there's a summary, and this is a great reminder, and I encourage you that as you write this out this week and you write about creation and the fall and the Redeemer and the restoration, you walk through these areas, that you remind yourself of this as well. And this is a great summary of how to think about God and our relationship with God and others because of salvation. And as I read this, I was like, man, this is really good. God is great. You ever heard somebody say that? God is great. And that usually in the church I grew up with, somebody would like repeat another line and then they'd say something back and it was like, oh, okay, that was great. God is great. So we don't have to be in control. Realize that. God is great. So we don't have to be in control. We are all control freaks. Admit it. Yeah, we like to be in control. God is sovereign. He has the power to save. Okay? So remind yourself of that this week. Number two, God is glorious. So we don't have to fear others. Okay? We are also at the same level of all people. We are also at some level all people pleasers and struggle with the fear of men. Every single one of us is a people pleaser on some level, or at least for some person in our life. Learning to please God alone is critical in our spiritual growth. He is glorious. Fear him, not man. And so realize that. Number three, God is good. So we don't have to look elsewhere for good. Okay? Temptation can be powerful, but when we sin, we are saying in that moment, we don't believe God is good enough. God is the greatest good we can ever have. Number four, God is gracious. So we don't have to prove ourselves. We have been forgiven completely by the one we have offended immensely. Enjoy the grace of God lavished on us through Christ. I don't know, I read those and I was like, man, that's really good reminders to ourselves. You know, we're talking about preaching the gospel to ourselves. We're talking about proclaiming this gospel. These are good reminders to kind of walk through. And I'll email those to you this week so that you can follow up on those. I'll also post those on the Facebook page so that if you don't get the emails or you don't have email and you have Facebook, you can go check those out as well. So, as we close, we want to pray these prayers together, these two prayers that we've been challenging us to pray. And continue to this week, look at those four areas, write yourself a gospel presentation so that you can proclaim the gospel message to yourself, and then start doing that. Start telling yourself about the gospel. And so that as you're praying these other prayers, God will bring to light wisdom in you and say, man, this is the person I want you to share with today. And find a way to share with them. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the amazing gospel message that we see proclaimed all throughout Scripture. And Lord, the hope that we have in you and the restoration that we can have in you alone, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to daily look around and daily pray and seek the opportunities you give us. And so today, even today, we pray that you'll give us an opportunity to share Jesus with someone, to speak about Jesus, Lord. Lord, give us the wisdom to see it. And Lord, I pray that you'll give us the courage to take it. And Lord, this week, even starting today, help us, Lord, to continually grow in our understanding and our wonder of the gospel. Not fear, Lord, but our understanding and wonder. And Lord, help us to grow in the desire to share the gospel with others. Maybe we're honest about our lives right now and we say to ourselves and we say to you, God, I am scared and I just really don't have the desire to do it. Lord, help us to grow in that desire. And Lord, give us your love for those around us. Lord, help me to love the people that you have in my life the way you love them, Lord. Grow my love for them that I will open my mouth and boldly proclaim the gospel message to them. Guide us as a church family as we seek to understand proclaiming this message in a greater way. Help us to be real and have real conversations with people about the gospel and not to freak out about it, Lord. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.